might go a little bit off script. So I would imagine him to come off as composed at the very beginning, but, you know, with a potential, you know, contentious relationship with the press, anything can happen as time goes on.
And, you know, Doug, you're right, because remember when he went to the White House and met with President Obama? We saw a much different, more subdued Donald Trump, very respectful. They, by all accounts, including those in the Obama White House, got on pretty well. So we have these different personas of Donald Trump. We saw that during the campaign, and I think also through Twitter, we know that he's not really backing off that aggressive style when he wants to kind of campaign attack. He is still in that mode, depending on the issue.
You know, we will obviously, after the news conference, we'll be speaking with both of you and possibly other VOA correspondents about what was actually said and the news around it. So I don't want to get too much into the to the weeds on that. But Jim Malone, you'd mentioned that meeting that Mr. Trump had with Mr. Obama some days after the election. That was an interesting Donald Trump we saw there. He seemed genuinely awed by the office of the president, and that is sort of a humble Donald Trump that I don't know that we've seen a lot of.
Right, we saw that, but then shortly thereafter, we were back to the tweeting that suggested the old Donald Trump from the campaign was back. You know, this news conference, the timing is interesting because of what just happened here last night here in Washington and in the country with President Barack Obama's farewell. The country's in a moment of transition, and how Trump rises to that, knowing the country is still divided, I think that's one of the things I'm going to be looking for in this news conference. What kind of tone is projected, and what can we look for in just a little more than a week when he actually, just a few, a short distance from here, takes the oath of office on the steps of the U.S. Capitol.
A literal stone's throw from where we're speaking. Ramon Taylor, I'd like to just switch it for a quick moment. We've been talking about which Donald Trump may show up today. I'm wondering your thoughts. You're there with the media, with the press. What press do you think is going to show up today? Are they, you know, do they seem, you know, primed and ready for really assertively going after Mr. Trump? Is there a sense of, well, perhaps, you know, let's just, you know, all be on our best behavior? Do you have a read on that?
I think you can certainly expect the former. And that is, you know, this is their first chance to really get out there and ask the questions that that Americans want to know and have not really had the option to hear, you know, beyond some sound bites from Kellyanne Conway, for example. So this is going to be, I would say, a very aggressive bunch. Again, I don't know how some of these questions are, how he's going to prioritize who gets asked. This is not the most conventional setup in terms of layout with more reporters standing on the sidelines than in the seats in the middle. So, but I would expect the most aggressive to get out there, and that's how, those are the voices that will be heard today.
And we should remind everyone that the initial reason for this was to talk about how he's going to separate himself from his various business interests that presumably will involve family members, some of whom are being talked about as part of a White House inner circle. There's a lot of questions about this. We've never had a businessman elected president with this kind of tentacles economically, not only throughout the country, but throughout the world. So that was the initial focus of what we were expecting to hear. But, of course, events have a way of overtaking.
Well, that's exactly so. And this was originally scheduled for December 13th or 19th, I believe. It was postponed until now. We seem to have a bit of a delay, so hopefully it's not going to get postponed again. But you mentioned originally this was going to be Mr. Trump speaking to the nation about how he intends to divest himself from that international portfolio. And not only himself, but his family as well. His family is very close with him. They serve in an advisory capacity. But it just seems that events have completely gone, you know, 10 steps ahead of what we were expecting to hear. I mean, you know, if you look at news in just the past week, we have RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., a scion of a classic American political family. Is he going to be heading up a vaccine commission? He is a famously an anti-vaxxer, as they call. Will Jared Kushner be given a role, an official role in the White House? Does that violate perhaps anti-nepotism laws? cause. Today on the Hill, we have three confirmation hearings. Senator Sessions in his second day. Rex Tillerson has begun just about 2 hours ago his confirmation hearing. Elaine Chao. I mean, news just seems to be going so much faster. It seems than even journalists can keep up with.
Right. And, one of the things that we haven't even clearly gotten from him, we heard from him through Twitter last week about the assessments of U.S. intelligence officials that Russia intentionally had hacked into the U.S. To affect the outcome of the election in his favor. And, we had various times of him casting doubt on that, questioning, then seeming to accept parts of that. I mean, now you have the latest overlay, which is additional information that's out there of some questionable credibility that has to do with whether the Russians have been actually gathering information on him as well, and to what extent he was even briefed. And I think maybe we're getting some more activity here. I'm not sure.
I'm not sure. Mr. Trump may be entering the room. There is some activity. Ramon Taylor, we'll turn to you in just a moment. This is special live coverage from Voice of America. This is President-elect Donald Trump's first meeting with the press since winning the presidential election last November. I'm Doug Bernard, along with Jim Malone here in VOA Studio 22. Ramon Taylor is in Trump Tower. Ramon, tell us a little bit. I know you covered a number of candidates on the campaign trail. What is your sense of who Mr. Trump was as you were following him as a political candidate? Certainly, I guess the first word is non-traditional.
Right. Well, this is a candidate that we've all been asking, is he going to evolve at some point? And as we've learned throughout, with just about a week before he becomes president, Donald Trump, the candidate, may be, in fact, the Donald Trump president. And at this point, there are no indications of any change in that sense. I mean, if you look back to his last press conference, this was the time that he joked, and of course the media had every right to take seriously, asking Russia to look into Hillary's email. So if you look based on his past history of press conferences, because there have been so few, we have every right to believe that this is going to be a Trump entertainment show that the press will take very seriously.
Jim Malone, you'd mentioned Donald Trump's use of Twitter, his frequent use of Twitter. And I have a journalist-to-journalist, a question for you. It seems every time Mr. Trump, and I recognize he's the president-elect of the United States, so what he says has import. But every time he takes to Twitter and maybe starts a fight with Meryl Streep or something, we journalists tend to immediately jump on that. Does that in some ways perhaps distract either the public or us as journalists from, I hate to say it, the real stories or the real issues that matter?
Well, in one sense, the news conference is important because this is a more traditional approach for presidents, president-elects, to address the people. And they've already signaled that they may not be, in that pattern of past presidents, that maybe they won't hold enough a lot of briefings, maybe news conferences will be less frequent.
I think Reince Priebus was Mr. Trump's chief of staff, was suggesting we may do away with the daily presidential briefing.
Right. Sounds like we're hearing something coming out of the...
Ramon Taylor, we're hearing some cheering. We're hearing some hooting and clapping. Do we think that Mr. Trump has entered the room where the news conference will take place?
Any second, yes. The vice president has just entered behind the podium, so he's going to be introduced momentarily.
Thank you. Ramon, we're going to let you go. I know you're going to have to get going. I will tell our listeners that Mr. Trump has entered the room. He's in the room alongside his two sons, Eric and Donald Jr., and his daughter Ivanka. Right now speaking at the podium, I believe, is someone about to introduce Mike Pence. Mike Pence, the vice presidential nominee. Jim Malone, do you have concerns that an untraditional candidate using untraditional means, say, for example, Twitter, that the public may at some point, I don't know, kind of, looks like we lost Ramon there, stop listening to traditional media? We heard, in fact, just last night at his farewell address, President Obama was talking about the rise of fake news, quote, fake news, and the challenge that poses to democracy. I know this is a bit far afield.
Yeah,
but
it's a couple of issues there. You mentioned means of communication and then fake news. Let me take the means of communication for a minute, because if you look at what Trump has been able to do via Twitter, you can make an argument he's kind of weaponized it and uses it quite effectively.
Mm.
He got the Republicans in the House to back down within hours. Based on an ethics vote they had taken as the first order of business.
Mm-hmm.
He got, he says, contributed to the fact that Ford Motor Company pulled back from a plant going into Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking at this objectively, there's power there. And when you, if you use it wisely and it, how he's been doing it to some extent, and you're not giving news conferences and briefings, then it has a lot of meat to it. It has a lot of impact. But is there a downside to that where you overdo it?
I'm thinking yes.
Well, we'll see.
Possibly.
Have we reached that point yet? I don't know. But when he's tweeting out to defend himself against, say, the Meryl Streep comments from the Golden Globes, I mean, it's a way for him, I think, of reaching his base of supporters, many of whom eschew kind of discard the regular means of communication through the mainstream media now, and as we've seen during the campaign, news via Facebook, via Twitter, Instagram, the way people are reaching their compatriots, like thinkers, is changing in this country, and the Trump campaign did tap into that.
Well, we're going to turn now to New York City, to Trump Tower. We're going to go live to Donald Trump's first news conference. Speaking at the podium is not Donald Trump, but we will hear from him shortly. Speaking right now, we'll just introduce him, Mike Pence, the Vice President-elect of the United States.
I am profoundly honored and humbled that I will take the oath of office to serve as Vice President of the United States 9 days from today, but I'm even more honored to stand shoulder to shoulder with a new president who will make America great again. Now, the president-elect's leadership and his energy during the campaign was impressive, but as the chairman of the transition effort, I can assure the American people that his energy and his vision during the course of this transition has been even more inspiring. To see the way he has brought together men and women of extraordinary capability at a historic pace in this cabinet. 19 of the 21 cabinet officials have been announced, 9 committee hearings already scheduled, 7 more soon to go on the books in the next several days, and it is a compilation of men and women with an unprecedented caliber of leadership and background to help this administration move our nation forward. Perhaps that's why there's been such a concerted effort by some in the mainstream media to delegitimize this election and to demean our incoming administration. You know, I have long been a supporter of a free and independent press, and I always will be. But with freedom comes responsibility. And the irresponsible decision of a few news organizations to run with a false and unsubstantiated report when most news organizations resisted the temptation to propagate this fake news can only be attributed to media bias, an attempt to demean the president-elect and our incoming administration, and the American people are sick and tired of it. But today, we'll get back to real news, to real facts, and the real progress our incoming president has already made in reviving the American economy and assembling a team that will make America great again. So, and we'll hear from the president-elect about issues that are of paramount importance to the American people today. So it is my honor to introduce to all of you my friend and the president-elect of the United States of America, Donald Trump.
Thank you very much. It's very familiar territory, news conferences, because we used to give them on a almost daily basis. I think we probably maybe won the nomination because of news conferences. And it's good to be with you. We stopped giving them because we were getting quite a bit of inaccurate news. But I do have to say that, and I must say that I want to thank a lot of the news organizations here today, because they looked at that nonsense that was released by maybe the intelligence agencies. Who knows? But maybe the intelligence agencies, which would be a tremendous blot on their record if they in fact did that. A tremendous blot. Because a thing like that should have never been written, it should never been had, and it should certainly never have been released. But I want to thank a lot of the news organizations, for some of whom have not treated me very well over the years, a couple in particular, and they came out so strongly against that fake news and the fact that it was written about by primarily one group and one television station. So I just want to compliment many of the people in the room. I have great respect for the news and great respect for freedom of the press and all of that, but I will tell you, there were some news organizations, with all that was just said, that were so professional, so incredibly professional, that I've just gone up a notch as to what I think of you. Okay? All right. We've had some great news over the last couple of weeks. I've been quite active, I guess you could say, in an economic way for the country. A lot of car companies are going to be moving in. We have other companies. Big news is going to be announced over the next couple of weeks about companies that are going to be building in the Midwest. You saw it yesterday, Fiat Chrysler, big, big factory going to be built in this country as opposed to another country. Ford just announced that they stopped plans for a $1 billion plant in Mexico, and they're going to be moving into Michigan and expanding very substantially an existing plant. I appreciate that from Ford. I appreciate it very much from Fiat Chrysler. I hope that General Motors will be following, and I think they will be. I think a lot of people will be following. I think a lot of industries are going to be coming back. We have to get our drug industry coming back. Our drug industry has been disastrous. They're leaving left and right. They supply our drugs, but they don't make them here to a large extent. And the other thing we have to do is create new bidding procedures for the drug industry, because they're getting away with murder. Pharma has a lot of lobbies, a lot of lobbyists, and a lot of power. And there's very little bidding on drugs. We're the largest buyer of drugs in the world, and yet we don't bid properly. And we're going to start bidding, and we're going to save billions of dollars over a period of time. And we're going to do that with a lot of other industries. I'm very much involved with the generals and admirals on the airplane, the F-35. You've been reading about it. And it's way, way behind schedule and many, many billions of dollars over budget. I don't like that. And the admirals have been fantastic. The generals have been fantastic. I've really gotten to know them well. And we're going to do some big things on the F-35 program and perhaps the F-18 program. And we're going to get those costs way down, and we're going to get the plane to be even better, and we're going to have some competition, and it's going to be a beautiful thing. So we've been very, very much involved, and other things. We had Jack Ma. We had so many incredible people coming here. Mr. Arnault, they're going to do tremendous things in this country. And they're very excited. And I will say, if the election didn't turn out the way it turned out, they would not be here. They would not be in my office. They would not be in anybody else's office. They'd be building and doing things in other countries. So there's a great spirit going on right now, a spirit that many people have told me they've never seen before, ever. We're going to create jobs. I said that I will be the greatest jobs producer that God ever created. And I mean that. I'm going to work very hard on that. We need certain amounts of other things, including a little bit of luck. But I think we're going to do a real job. And I'm very proud of what we've done. And we haven't even gotten there yet. I look very much forward to the inauguration. It's going to be a beautiful event. We have great talent, tremendous talent. And we have all of the bands, or most of the bands, from the different segments of the military. And I've heard some of these bands over the years. They're incredible. We're going to have a very, very elegant day. The 20th is going to be something that will be very, very special, very beautiful. And I think we're going to have massive crowds, because we have a movement. It's a movement like the world has never seen before. It's a movement that a lot of people didn't expect. And even the polls, although some of them did get it right, but many of them didn't. That was a beautiful scene on November 8th as those states started to pour in. And we focused very hard on those states, and they really reciprocated. And those states are going to have a lot of jobs, and they're going to have a lot of security, and they're going to have a lot of good news for their veterans. And by the way, speaking of veterans, I appointed today the head secretary of the Veterans Administration, David Shulkin. And we'll do a news release in a little while. I'll tell you about David. He's fantastic. He's fantastic. He will do a truly great job. One of the commitments I've made is that we're going to straighten out the whole situation for our veterans. Our veterans have been treated horribly. They're waiting in line for 15, 16, 17 days. Cases where they go in and they have a minor, early stage form of cancer and they can't see a doctor. By the time they get to the doctor, they're terminal. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So David is going to do a fantastic job. We're going to be talking to a few people also to help David. And we have some of the great hospitals of the world going to align themselves with us on the Veterans Administration, like the Cleveland Clinic, like the Mayo Clinic, a few more that we have. And we're going to set up a group. These are hospitals that have been the top of the line, the absolute top of the line. And they're going to get together with their great doctors. Dr. Toby Cosgrove, as you know, from the Cleveland Clinic, has been very involved. Ike Perlmutter has been very, very involved, one of the great men of business. And we're going to straighten out the VA for our veterans. I've been promising that for a long time, something I feel very, very strongly. So you'll get the information on David, and I think you'll be very impressed with the job he does. We looked long and hard. We interviewed at least 100 people, some good, some not so good, but we had a lot of talent, and we think this selection will be something that will, with time, straighten it out, and straighten it out for good, because our veterans have been treated very unfairly. Okay. Questions? Yes, John?
Mr. President-elect, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A couple of aspects of the intelligence briefing that you received on Friday that we're looking for further clarification on.
Sure.
First of all, did the heads of the intelligence agencies provide you with a two-page summary of these unsubstantiated allegations? And secondly to that, on the broader picture, do you accept their opinion that Vladimir Putin ordered the hack of the DNC and the attempted hack of the RNC? And if you do, how will that color your attempts to build a relationship with a leader who has been accused of committing an act of espionage?
Okay, first of all, these meetings, as you know, are confidential, classified, so I'm not allowed to talk about what went on in a meeting. But we had many witnesses in that meeting, many of them with us. And I will say again, I think it's a disgrace that information would be let out. I saw the information, I read the information outside of that meeting. It's all fake news. It's phony stuff. It didn't happen. And it was gotten by opponents of ours, as you know, because you reported it, and so did many of the other people. It was a group of opponents that got together, sick people, and they put that crap together. So I will tell you that not within the meeting, but outside of the meeting, somebody released it. It should never have been, number one, shouldn't have even entered paper. But it should never have been released. But I read what was released, and I think it's a disgrace. I think it's an absolute disgrace. As far as hacking, I think it was Russia, but I think we also get hacked by other countries and other people. And I can say that, you know, when we lost 22 million names and everything else that was hacked recently, they didn't make a big deal out of that. That was something that was extraordinary. That was probably China. We have much hacking going on. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we're going to do, we have some of the greatest computer minds anywhere in the world that we've assembled. You saw just a sample of it 2 weeks ago up here where we had the six top people in the world. They were never in the same room together as a group. And we're going to put those minds together, and we're going to form a defense. And I have to say this also. The Democratic National Committee was totally open to be hacked. They did a very poor job. They could have had hacking